sick for the last 2 days. And all of a sudden today I started feeling better. So I'm good to go. So you're going to have to put up with that, all right? All that being said, let's go to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And I want us to pick up some of the things that we have been talking about. We've been dealing with the second coming of Christ. I've been trying to, as I said, not get into a lot of the weeds of the reasons why we hold to a pre-tribulational rapture or we hold to a pre-millennial position of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Depending on how long I want to go into our study on the second coming of Christ, I suppose I may decide to get into Daniel 9 and some of those things. But really, right now, I just feel very burdened to deal with things that would be of a help and an encouragement to us. And this has to do with different things. So, for instance, we talked about imminency. Christ could come back at any moment. And that should be something that energizes us to recognize that, you know, Christ, he could come today. And if he came today, I need to be ready. You know, and if we were to somehow get so caught up into the 10 toes of the Antichrist and all of that, that wouldn't do us a whole lot of good if we are not ready for his coming. And we dealt with that. And we were in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and more I dealt with that, the more I started going to other things. So in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 1, tells us, "Now we beseech you," and what's the next word? "Brethren." So he's talking to Christians. The Thessalonians were believers. And this was a church that the Apostle Paul had established. And he says, "I want to beseech you regarding the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Christ is coming back. And then you have this this conjunction, "and by our gathering together unto him." And when you have an article about the coming, and the construction there is saying this is one and the same. So the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is our Lord, he is our master. So I hope we all have been trying to live that way. He is Jesus. He's the that's the Old Testament name Joshua, but yet it's the Jesus of the New Testament. But this is the Messiah, the Christ, and that his coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Well, we took you the last time we looked at that, we went over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5. And if you want to flip over there, it's only a couple pages. 1 Thessalonians 4, you see the rapture of the church in verse 16. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." That "caught up" is the word in the Latin, raptura, which is to be raptured together with him in the clouds, and we shall meet in the air. So we talked about the meeting in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the purpose of that is to comfort us. And then we saw in chapter 5 that for those of us who hold to a pre-tribulation rapture, it fits chronologically, that when you get into chapter 5, he's dealing with the day of the Lord. You know, verse chapter 5, verse 2, the day of the Lord so cometh, and it comes as a thief in the night. And when everyone is saying peace and safety, sudden destruction shall come. And we are not of the darkness, but we are of the light. We are not drugged by drowsiness as those who are unsaved, but we are sober, verse 6. We are not drunk, but we are sober. And we are watching and we're sober. And we are not appointed unto wrath. So we looked at that last time. That was, what, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, Brother Chuck preached. And then last week we had the deacon's care group meeting, and I was at camp and so forth. And so I just wanted to review that a little bit with you, because that was a few weeks ago. And so when you come back over, well, look here real quickly, because I want to emphasize this. Verse 7, we're going to meet together in the clouds, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Now, coming over to 2 Thessalonians, which is a continuation of the study of the second coming of Christ, because if you remember in chapter 2, in verse 5, he says, when I was with you, I told you these things. So, you have there the coming of our Lord, the parousa. That means his coming, and as opposed to the apocalypse, as you'll see in chapter 1, verse 7, when he's revealed, or the revelation with the Lord, he is coming, and when he comes, we are going to be gathered together unto him. So, what we're dealing with here is the rapture. So, when Christ comes back at the rapture, we're going to be gathered together unto him. Now, there's only two times that one word, which is translated two words here, gathering together, there's only one other time that you have that same word used. And if you go over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, and it tells us in verse 24, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto what? Anybody with me on this? To provoke unto love and what? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now that, there's four words there, assembling of ourselves together. That is the same word that is used in chapter 2, verse 1, gathering together. All right, so what you have there is this gathering together. So two times in the scripture. The first time, and when I say the first time, I'm saying that from a chronological standpoint, right now we are gathering together. How you doing? Doing good? How can we gather together? We can come together, man, we're meeting with the Lord. Or we can... Why am I even here? You know, this kind of attitude. Or maybe we've had a week that is just very, very troubling. But now we get to meet together. Or it can be, you know, where am I right now? What happens next? You know, that kind of attitude. And this is this gathering together. Now, when we gather together and we meet together, we could ask ourselves, How are the pews? Are they soft enough? Are you comfortable? Are you joyful? Are you clear in your thinking? Are you ready to worship the Lord? We're going to pray. Are we ready to pray? Now, I brought this picture because I talked about the last time, and I was telling someone, I said, who needs PowerPoint? Boom. We got this picture. You say, I can't see it. It's because you're not sitting close enough. So, anybody remember what this picture is? I know Rusty knows. I know my wife knows. Jennifer? These are Russian Christians having church. My mic's on, right? My Ken? Well, I can hear myself. These are Russian Christians. There's no pews. They're having to meet out in the middle of the woods. I look there and I actually see some smiles. They are gathered together. Now, this, you did go ahead and hang it up in the fellowship hall. Was it you? Who hung it up? My wife did? So, it's there for you to look at anytime. So when you ever feel like you're not comfortable enough in church, go look at that picture. All right? So, you look at that, and I can see maybe, what, 20 people, 15 people? Probably about as many people as we have here. And they're meeting. They're gathered together. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, I just find it fascinating, and I'm emphasizing this again, that we're going to have a glorified church service in heaven. It's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto Him. Because according to John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I come again, I will do what? Receive you unto myself. That's a rapture verse. And in 1 Thessalonians, we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So there's this sense in which church is something, or I'm sorry, the gathering together unto Jesus is something we're already used to. If we go to church with the proper realization. And yet we say, you know, but how is that going to work? Well, because we could ask the question, okay, if that's the case, how will I enjoy that? Well, we would obviously say yes, but why? Well, that brings me in, I'm like I told you the other day, I'm just dealing with this prophecy as the Lord leads me to deal with it. That leads me to 2 Thessalonians 5. And in 2 Thessalonians 5, we find here that we have everything we need to know as to why and how and to what attitude we will have. It's because of the fact we will have a glorified body. Now, notice there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, we can stop right there, 4. Why would he say 4? He's not golfing. When you see the word for, what does that tell you? Which tells you that there's a reason why he says it. You know, it's kind of like a therefore. You know, I often say, if you want to when you see the word therefore, you go to your Bible and find out what it's there for. So, in chapter 4, verse 1, he says we have this ministry. And verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? Because in verse 8, we're troubled on every side, chapter 4. We are perplexed, chapter 4, verse 8. We are, verse 9, persecuted. We're forsaken. And you know, this is how Paul felt about life. Death, verse 12, is working in us. You ever just feel like dying? You know, the other night I wasn't feeling well at all, and I'm laying there trying to sleep, and I'm thinking, oh, I feel so terrible. I didn't say, Lord, take me home or anything, but you know, you almost feel like you're dying. And you look at these things and you say, wow, things are pretty rough. Verse 17, but Paul says, this is affliction, but how does he describe his affliction? Verse 17, it's light. He says, this is light. It's compared to, verse 17, a moment. As opposed to, at the end of verse 17, in heaven it's going to be eternal weight. He says, we don't look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. Now keep that in mind when you come to chapter 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. He says, because the things which are seen, according to verse 18, are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we're walking by faith. So he said, let me tell you why. So I'm going to tell you why, because for we know, now look at verse 1 carefully, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, what is he talking about? He says that on this earth, he is saying that we are in a house, and when you think about a house, you think about occupying that house. Now, we've been moving some of the stuff into Matthew and Rachel's house. By the way, good to have Deborah here tonight. And Rachel, good to have you. And Matthew, it's good to have you. And I could say that to each one of you. It's good to have you. But, you know, we've been moving things into their house, which, by the way, did you want to make an announcement, Matthew? Yeah, go ahead. And you said you're the contact person? If you can help, that'd be helpful. So we're moving into the house. Why? So who is the occupancy of the house? Well, it depends on where you live. When you consider, he's talking here about our bodies. Verse 6, he talked, we are at home in this body. Okay. So when I'm looking at you, I'm seeing your house. you know, we want to take care of our house, right? But when I'm actually looking at you, I'm looking at that which surrounds something. I'm actually looking at that which covers you. We call that a soul. And he describes this earthly house as a tabernacle. See that in verse 1? If our earthly house of this tabernacle, what is a tabernacle? We've looked at that a little bit when we were studying Sunday school. Someone want to be brave and shout it out? What is a tabernacle? What's that? Okay. All right, let's go back. What is the difference in the Old Testament when the children of Israel set up the tabernacle? As opposed to Solomon when he built the temple. What was the difference between those two? Okay, the tabernacle was portable. It literally was a tent. You know, I remember one time my wife and I and Matthew, we went out west and we decided to take some camping stuff with us. And we decided to go ahead and stay the night in a campground. So we pulled out the tent. We stayed overnight, and then we picked up the tent and took it with us and left. All right? So, a tent is something that is temporary, you see. And it says here that our earthly house of this tabernacle, it's going to be dissolved. It's going to stop. It's going to quit. How many knew that? Okay. And if you didn't raise your hand, you did know the answer. All right. We're all going to die. And there's going to be a time when our bodies, unless we're in the rapture, are going to be laid in a casket. I could do your funeral, or you could do my funeral, and we'll look at you, and you just sit there, and or lay there, and you will have no response. And this house that is surrounding our bodies will be dissolved. And, of course, if you know anything about death, as long as that, you know, how long does that body stay intact after death? You know, you want to study something gruesome. Study what happens to the body if a body is left to itself. It's not embalmed or anything. You know, when Lazarus was in the grave 3 days and three nights, find out what can happen in 3 days. You start having worms crawling through your body. You start decaying. And ashes turn to, you know, your body turns back to ashes. So, it tells us here that this earthly body is going to be dissolved. But we have a building, verse 1, of God. Now, this is not a man-made body. This is a God-made body. So it's not just through, and of course we could say every person that ever lives is from God. But God is going to create a new body. And this new body, not made with hands, it is eternal, which means it will never be corrupted. Now, what a contrast. So on the one hand, the temporal body kind of shrivels up and dies. I mean, dies and shrivels up, put it that way. But the eternal body is going to be eternal. Now, we have studied 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we saw that this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. 1 Corinthians 15, this mortal will put on immortality. The body that we now have is very weak, you know, so you get sick and those kind of things. And yet, the Bible tells us that in heaven, we will get a new body. So, bringing this together, what we find that, okay, so, what happens, you know, we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we do not weep like those who have no hope. When somebody who knows the Lord dies, then the scripture says that they will receive a new body. And we are told that those that are raptured will immediately be transformed. So think about that. Not only are you going to say, "Woo, I'm in the air, I'm with Christ," but I have, from the time I've left the ground to the time I'm with Christ, have a glorified body. And in this, verse 2 of chapter 5, this we groan, we're grieved. Our bodies are always aching and complaining. And I mean, you may not be a complainer, but your body does. You know, it complains a lot. And we are burdened, verse 4. But one day we will be, look at verse 4, and I'm moving really quickly here in this verse, but we are clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now God has, look at verse 5, this is important. God has purposed this. And he tells us to make sure we realize it really happens. If you're a Christian, he has given you an earnest to make sure you know this is going to happen. What is an earnest? Well, when you talk about earnest money, you put money down to save or to guarantee that you're coming back to make the full payment if you're buying a house. And the scripture here tells us that God has given us an earnest. And what is the earnest? The Holy Spirit. Verse 6, therefore, when you look and see the word therefore, you want to see what it's there for. So why did he go off into this whole discussion of the body? Because he says, in verse 6, we are always confident while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Verse 8, we're willing rather to be absent from our body to be present with the Lord. So there's no such thing as soul sleep. And whether we're in this body or living in this life or what we labor, whether we're present or absent, we want to be accepted of the Lord. So in verse 10, 4. Oh, we got another 4 here. We must all do what? Appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we went through the 7 judgments, so I'm not going to drive that home again. But one of the judgments is the Bema judgment. So the Bema judgment is a judgment in the sense of the Christian, because he's saying here we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Remember, he said we want to be accepted of the Lord. Don't you want to be accepted of the Lord? Well, if you're a Christian, you do. we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that we everyone may receive the things done in his body. According to that he hath done, according whether it be good or bad. Okay, we want to be accepted of the Lord. Now, I could keep going and it will make us go later. I want to keep going. And I'd like for us to go 10, 15 minutes later. But you don't want to do that. Right? Now, maybe you do. But what I want to do is I want us to pray. I want us to pray that we would understand, and we'll pick up next week on that a little bit, because what's going to happen is there's going to be this time where we're going to have that meeting in the air. We're going to have a glorified body, and there is going to be a distribution of rewards. And those rewards, we're told in the scripture, are not so that we can be proud. Now, understand, we're in a glorified body, so no one's going to be proud. What we will have is there'll be no more pain. This is Revelation 21. There's no more suffering. No more crying. Think about it, no crying ever in heaven. But we'll have these new bodies, and we will, and while the world is going through the most traumatic experiences that could ever be in planet Earth, those of us who know Christ will be able to have our own personal appearance before the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not going to be what did my parents say or what did my pastor say or what did somebody I look up to say. It's going to be, okay, it's me and God. So we'll pick up on that. Now, Lord, we ask that you would help us as we do consider these things going on in our lives. Lord, how we respond to things does make a difference. And Lord, we have this hope to know that no matter what we're going through that's hard compared to eternity, it's just a moment. Compared to eternity, these heavy afflictions are very light. We have this treasure, this Holy Spirit in earthen vessels. And we thank you, God, that you do understand that we're just human beings and we have very frail bodies. And we ask that you just help us to be always living in a way that would be acceptable to you. And we'll praise you for what you do for Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay, we have about 10 minutes to take.